of others. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, one of the reasons why you should share Jesus with somebody else who is unsaved, because you know the spiritual need of those people. Amen. You see, Peter and John, they were on their way up to the temple to pray, and they could not help but to see this man at this temple. Yes, praise God. They could not help but to see the condition, and they knew that this man had a great need. Yes, amen. You see, they knew that he had a great need, but his great need was for the...
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexander, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome. This is Telling of His Goodness Ministry broadcast. I'm evangelist and author Brenda Randall. We are praying that this broadcast will uplift and inspire you as you tune into the message for today. The scripture reading is Psalms 27:13-14. Read, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
My God is good.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Telling of His Goodness broadcast. Thank you for listening to the message for today, Impacting Lives with the Word of God. Please tune in on next Tuesday also, God willing, for the conclusion of the message by Pastor Solomon. God bless you. Now let's go into the Word of the Lord. Amen.
Church, if I've done just about all of it too, except being a bishop. Psalms 119:97, and I want to talk about David talks about himself, and he's testified many other times by other prophets and the apostles that he's a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. And that's a impressive statement to be made, that you are a person after God's own heart. But when you look back at the life of David and his lifestyle, some of the mistakes he made, some of the problems he got into, some of the bad decisions that he made, you would wonder if this man was really a man after God's own heart. You would consider and look at a man like David that somewhere in his life, he did do some extraordinary things. He killed Goliath, killed a lion and a bear, was anointed by Samuel out of all of the other boys in the family to be king. And after being anointed king but not taking the throne, Saul is after his life. He got to go on the run. Now, I wouldn't want to be anointed king, knowing that I'm anointed king, and knowing that the king know that I'm anointed king, and knowing that the king know that I'm anointed to be king, to have his job. Now, that creates a problem right there. I'm king, but I know you're going to be king. So, jealousy is automatically going to set up. Animosity is automatically going to set up in the heart of the person. Now, he's going to take my job. It's just a matter of time when he gets it, he's going to take my job. Y'all know how it is when you know, I'm going to just bring it on down home. You know how it is on a job or situation, in your job market. Sometimes they bring in a new person and they ask you to train that person, and you know you on the way out and you have trained them. You know you don't give them all the secrets. You don't give them all the secrets now. You just don't do that. You know a whole lot of stuff that you could say and a whole lot of processes that you could present to them, but you know, I have to learn the hard way. They're going to learn the hard way too. Matter of fact, I know they're trying to get my job. So you are not so liberal in your training. Am I right? Let's just be real about it. Humanly speaking, we find ourselves in difficult situations trying really to be the person after God's own heart. We want to do what is right, but life itself presents us difficulties that sometimes we have to make decisions that are not even godly. Ain't nobody in the house today. Now, you made some decisions that wasn't godly decisions. Made some self-decisions. Made some self-will decision. I will do this. I know God is not pleased, but he will forgive me. All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's good. Thank God for being merciful. Thank God for forgiving. Thank God for restoring. Thank God he's not like me. He's definitely not like me. So when we look at the psalmist and his man after God's own heart, then we have to understand that God did not look at David for totally about his action. Or his response. It was not totally about his action or his response. It was not totally about how he conducted himself. But one thing that David done that I feel that was very important that moved him towards God's heart was his ability to repent. He understood his relationship with God. Let me go there. When you understand your relationship with God and who you are in God, then it frees you from some fears. Knowing that my Father loves me, and as the Apostle Paul said, what can separate me from the love of God? So then if David understands this, and we understand this also, then our life could be a whole lot more peaceful, and we could get more out of life than just struggling just to be saved and go to heaven. I tell you all the time here, and I've said it, and I'll say it again today, I am really not afraid of missing heaven. I'm not afraid of missing heaven. And it doesn't mean that you will never see me make a mistake. I know I'm at the right place now. See, because if you understand your relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about missing heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? An everlasting life starts when you get saved. And it continues as long as you believe. And what can stop me? There might be something that stops you from believing, but it's going to be difficult for something to stop me from believing on him. I might be like David. I might mess up big time, but David believed, and he knew that God was a forgiving God. He realized that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He realized that when he got messed up, all he had to do was look to understand what Samuel said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will forgive them and I'll heal their land. Your person after God's own heart, it's not about counting how many steps you made right and trying to figure out how many of them you went wrong. Because the Holy Spirit that lives in you will convict you or bring you to a knowledge and let you know that he's grieved with your lifestyle. Let's look at Psalms 195. Here's the key that helps us to stay on track. Here's the key that helps us to stay on track. 119.97. I lost my page. Anybody got it right quick? What? Go ahead. Oh, how I love your law. Woo, it's my meditation all the day long. All of the day. I preached this not long ago, but it's still good. It's my meditation. See, if you want to be victorious and have life that glorifies God right down here on earth, then it's something about knowing God. The problem is that most people know church, but they don't know God. See, you can know church real well and not know God. You can know you can know all of the dynamic that makes church go and how to make everybody float. And, you know, I didn't say flow, I said float. But that's not it. It's got to go deeper than that. And how do I know God? The way I know God is I got to know him through his word. How do I know the mind of God? I got to know the mind of God through his word. So no wonder the psalmist, no wonder David was able to understand and have the heart after God, because he knew God and he knew God's word. How do I know God? How do I know what displeases God if I don't know his word? You got to know what God is, what God likes and what God does not like. Not because you heard it, but because you have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus, what? Never fail. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus keep on cleansing us. So I am not afraid of what the enemy brings to me. So he says, the reason I know this is that I meditate upon his word on a daily basis. Because then I take his word and I hide it in my heart so that when I need it, I can dig it up. Or the Holy Spirit, watch it. The Holy Spirit will bring it to my remembrance. Anybody ever, the Holy Spirit ever brought it to your remembrance? And I'm not talking about all bad things. Holy Spirit does not just deal with bad stuff. He deals with stuff. Everyday life, good and bad. Because he's the one that lives in us. He says, I'm going away. But I'm going to what? Send you another comforter. Another one. I'm going to bring you, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be just like me. The Paracletos, one that comes alongside of you. So he says, I'm going to meditate in that word, what? Day and night. Other word. So he says this. Here's Romans 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you for what? Present your bodies as a what? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen. And then be not conformed to this world, but be what? By what? By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. So then how do you do that? It's changing your mind. Transforming your mind. The transformation takes place in your mind according to the word that is being ministered or preached or that is being read and put into your spirit. Watch this. With my mind, the Apostle Paul said, Romans 7, down in there somewhere, with my mind I serve Christ. With my mind. Watch this. I want to say this. Watch this. Because if your mind doesn't change, you won't change. See, God doesn't put handcuffs on anybody. He doesn't put a bridle in your mouth. He does not shackle your feet to keep you from walking where you shouldn't go. He doesn't do that. He doesn't handcuff your hand to keep them to yourself. What he do is give you a new spirit. Write it in your heart and in your mind, and then you take this word of God and you start studying this word of God and reading this word of God, and it does what? It transforms your mind. It changes the way you think, and the way you think about things is how a man thinking, so is he. So when you've changed your thinking, you've changed your life. When you change your thinking, you change your attitude. When you change your thinking, oh, glory to God, you're getting on the right track. When you change your thinking, then you what? You can glorify God. It's important to understand that people today really seem like they really love church, they really love God, and I believe that they do. But honey, you got to get a change, and it's got to start right here in the head. Well, I'm sorry to go somewhere with that. But really, salvation is from head up. from neck up. From neck up. Uh-oh. Because Because when this don't get right, this ain't right. Let me help over here. Because if this